Good morning, and thank you for tuning in for today's edition of Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. Today, our conversation is with two folks from the Innovia Foundation. Innovia is a nonprofit foundation that is building an endowment to provide funding that supports the work of nonprofit groups at communities around the Inland Northwest, and that includes Bonner and Boundary Counties. Just this past month, Innovia announced grants to 14 different local groups, ranging from the Bonner Food Bank to the Panada Theater to the Sandpoint Area Seniors, in amounts running from $3,000 up to $20,000. That's significant help for our local groups. Today, we talk with Innovia Chief Strategy Officer, Aaron McMurray, and the North Idaho Engagement Manager, Amy Voller, about what Innovia does, why it does it, and the specifics of this latest round of grants to our local groups. That's all about how Innovia supports our communities. But later in our interview, we talk about something big that individuals can do to support what Innovia is doing. Innovia just yesterday kicked off a campaign called the 5% Transfer of Wealth Opportunity. This is not about taking wealth from one group and giving it to another, but rather it's about transferring wealth from one generation to the next. If you're of the baby boomer generation, this part of our talk may well be of interest to you as you consider how you want the fruits of your lifetime of hard work to continue on to do good work for the communities you love. And a word of full disclosure, I'm on the Innovia Leadership Council for the Northern Idaho Counties, along with 10 others in our region, but I hope the talk here is of interest to everyone who wants to build a strong community. So with that, let's get on with today's community conversation. We're speaking now with Aaron McMurray. He's the Chief Strategy Officer for the Innovia Foundation, as well as Amy Voller. She's the North Idaho Regional Engagement Manager. Amy, that's quite a title right there.
It is. It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Well, thank you for being here. And Aaron, thank you for being here. We want to be talking today about the work that Innovia has been doing during the pandemic to support nonprofit organizations and the charitable work and all the good work that our nonprofits, our local nonprofits do. But first, before we get into that, for our listeners who may not be acquainted with the Innovia Foundation, Aaron, why don't you tell us what it is and what does it do?
Yeah, thank you, Chris. And we really appreciate the opportunity to be on today with your listeners. Thanks for the opportunity. So Innovia Foundation is a community foundation, and that's a really unique and what I consider to be an exciting kind of a nonprofit that specializes in working with generous people across our region, empowering that generosity, or in our case, our mission is to ignite that generosity and then turning it into charitable funds that are pooled together at a foundation like Innovia, where they're invested and grown, and that allows for the ability to make ongoing grant making back into communities. And with the power of charitable endowments, which is one of the things that community foundations specialize in, what's exciting about that is the ability to create a perpetual source of grant dollars that can create powerful benefit back into local communities to support the work of nonprofits and charitable organizations. We like to say at Innovia that we specialize in community giving to community. And so the idea isn't that donors in a community like Sandpoint or Bonner's Ferry would give to Innovia Foundation. The idea is that they would set up a fund that would create a charitable benefit to go back into their community because of their generosity. And that's a big part of what we specialize in as a community foundation.
And so Innovia accepts this money, basically holds on to it, invests it in ways that it's going to keep returning almost indefinitely to the communities in ways that the donor may specifically earmark, or does it go into a bigger fund, or how can a donor direct their money back to their community?
Absolutely. Great question. So one of the ways to think about having a fund at Innovia is almost like having your own private foundation. Most folks in a region like ours are familiar with Bill and Melinda Gates and their big, massive private foundation. Innovia Foundation is charitable funds for the rest of us. And those individual funds, we call them component funds, are pooled for investment purposes. And that allows us to maximize the benefit of a diversified endowment portfolio, but then they're managed individually. And that means that an individual donor or family, or even a small business or company in a community, can set up a charitable fund with an organization like Innovia, and then they can determine in advance how that fund is going to be used to meet that donor's charitable interests. And there's a whole bunch of different fund types that are designed to be flexible, to align with a donor's charitable interests and exactly how they want to see the impact of their generosity go back into the community.
So how big is the overall Innovia fund?
Right now, we manage around $145 million in assets under management. And that has been a number that's been growing primarily through the generosity of donors from all around our region. Also, while the last year has been a little more volatile in the markets, that number is also growing through just very steady and careful management of the growth of those endowments.
And Innovia has been around for how long?
Yeah, we were founded in 1974, the same year that the World's Trade Fair came to Spokane, Washington. A group of three very visionary and courageous women who were involved with the Junior League in Spokane decided that our region needed a charitable endowed community foundation. And so they started with a humble check of $15,000. They connected up with their banker and their attorney, and the community foundation was born. You mentioned in your opening remarks that we've, for some of your listeners, we may have been known as the Inland Northwest Community Foundation. That was our prior name. And recently, back in 2018, as an organization, we went through a process of really asking ourselves some deep questions about why do we exist as an organization? And what kind of an impact do we want to have as we serve the 20 counties in our region, which is 10 counties in Eastern Washington, 10 counties in North Idaho. And we go back to the vision of those original three ladies when we say that we wanted to be innovative. We wanted to serve our region well, and we wanted to be able to talk about and point to the impact that generosity is having in our communities. And so through a really fun and exciting process of clarifying why we exist, we also came up with a new name. And that name, of course, is Innovia Foundation, which really captures our spirit. We want to be a community foundation that's about an innovative way of attracting generosity, investing those funds, making a transformational charitable impact, and being innovative and creative in the ways that we try to address the greatest needs and opportunities in local communities.
One of the things that I would most emphasize is that we really want to make sure we're making charitable impact. That at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much money goes into our communities. If we're not making a difference in our communities, then we're not living into who we're meant to be. Mm-hmm.
Do Amy or Aaron, in a typical year, how much does Innovia Foundation have to give to organizations, the different nonprofit organizations that you support?
So we typically grant out, we have a variety of ways that money goes into our communities through Innovia. One of them is our annual competitive grant cycle. We usually grant out about $1 million in that grant cycle. We also have a lot of money goes into our communities through our donor advised funds. And then some of your listeners may have heard that right at the start of the pandemic, we had some very generous donors here in our region who contributed to our COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. That has allowed us over the past year to grant out money to nonprofits who are doing really good work to meet the needs of our most vulnerable populations through the pandemic. And through that fund in North Idaho alone, we've been able to grant out a little over $500,000, and it's been really instrumental in meeting the needs of our communities and giving us flexibility to address needs as they change and evolve through the pandemic.
You know, I don't usually like to read long lists of stuff, but I think it'll make it a lot less abstract to people about how Innovia is helping our community if we mention some of the organizations that that have just received grants as part of the third round of this giving that Innovia has done during the pandemic. I'm going to mention some of them right now, and then we'll take a break because I have a question after this. So to Angels Over Sandpoint, I know you just granted $5,000 for the back to school program, $10,520 to the Better Together Animal Alliance to support its animal shelter helpline. The Blanchard Area Seniors got $3,000 to help their programs for youth and adults. The Bonner Community Food Center got $10,000 just for general program support. Food for Our Children got $8,000 for the weekend food program. Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness got $5,000 for their Mountain Goat Trail Ambassador program. I'm come back and rattle off the others in a minute, but Amy or Aaron, either one, describe how you decided that these groups, you know, could use this money, especially in light of extra needs incurred by the pandemic.
Yeah, great question, Chris. Really, Innovia cannot know the needs in our entire 20-county region through the staff of 15 people that we have. And we heavily rely on people who live in our communities and know our communities well. And so throughout our 20 counties, Innovia has 10 leadership councils. And on those councils are 10 to 15 people who live in those communities, network with those communities, and are very aware of the needs that are there and organizations that are doing good work to meet those needs. And so this list, Chris, that you just mentioned here arose from leadership council members in Boundary and Bonner County who helped advise us of what they're seeing now in the community and what are the needs and who are organizations that are doing good work to meet those needs. And we have heard similar things from other leadership councils, but of course the needs vary from community to community. And so it's been very critical for us and very helpful to have the generous time of these volunteers to give input to Innovia so we know where to direct these funds through the pandemic.
And Chris, I'll just add to that, that in addition to the names that you just mentioned, there's another 20 to 25 nonprofits in rounds one and two of our COVID response and recovery funding that also received grants. And it was a very similar process. We leaned heavily on that group of leadership council members to help to identify not only the greatest needs that were emerging in communities in the early and middle phases of the pandemic, but also who are those nonprofits on the front lines that were doing really good work to quickly reach out into the community and meet those needs, and especially meeting the needs of the most vulnerable citizens who are most likely to be disproportionately impacted by the outbreak of the pandemic. And so we were really grateful to have leadership council members, their insights, their perspective, and their guidance as we identified those nonprofit organizations and rapidly got those funding out. Your question before, Chris, I'll just touch on this real quick, was, you know, in an average year, how much do we grant out? And I think the totals, you know, over the last few years has been on average in about the $8 million range. And Amy already gave kind of an overview of the different ways that those dollars go out. This last year, of course, has been extremely unusual. And I think all told, we ended up being a little closer to $32 million in the year 2020 in funding that went out. And a lot of that was CARES dollars, where we jumped in and worked in partnership with local chambers or other governmental entities or other local agencies to award out CARES dollars that were coming down and to develop a process to get those dollars out. So that's been that's been an opportunity for us as an organization to really step up and help get a lot of money out into communities to support nonprofits and small businesses.
You know, I wanted to plow on through the rest of this list just from the latest round of grants that you put out, because people will hear organizations that they're really familiar with. And that's how we connect with the work you guys are doing. That as part of this third round of pandemic grants that were given out, $20,000 went to Kinnexu Land Trust for their Connecting Classrooms with Children and Children with Nature, to the Panhandle Alliance for Education, $8,000 for their Ready for Kindergarten program, $4,950 for the Panada Theater General Operating Support, $5,000 to the Pend Oreille Arts Council for their general operating support, $15,000 to Priest River Ministries for their operating support, $5,000 to Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc. for their operating support, $20,000 to Sandpoint Community Resource Center, their general program support, and $10,000 to the Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Education, Inc. organization for their operating support. So it's a wide range of groups. Some of them are dealing straight up with food and housing and needs of youth and seniors. Some of them were more general, though. Some of them were like To the Canada, which has struggled tremendously because they had to basically completely shut down their operations. And yet it's an important part of the community. That must have weighed in with the calculus of who could use some money right now.
Absolutely. And just a quick point of clarification, that list of grants, Chris, that you mentioned actually is not our third round of COVID funding. That was actually our most recent community grants program. And we'll actually be announcing our third round of COVID funding maybe as soon as next week or the week after, which we're really excited about. But I'm really glad that you brought up those grants that you just mentioned, because you're right, they do include some arts programs. And one of the things that we've identified and fully recognized as a community foundation is that our arts and culture nonprofits have been particularly hard hit with having to shut down, to not hold concerts or gatherings. It's been heartbreaking. And so often the COVID funding that's been made available has been restricted to nonprofits that are directly mitigating the impact of the pandemic, which has made it tougher to get dollars into arts and cultural nonprofits. So we were really glad in the recent community grants program that you just listed off some of the grants in Bonner and Boundary counties, that we did have some funding through some generous donors who have established funds at Inovia Foundation with a real heart and passion specifically for the arts. So the Panda Theater grant, for example, came through one of those fund types where we had some latitude to direct those dollars to a great local arts nonprofit.
And also gave us opportunity to recognize that these very important arts and cultural organizations throughout our region are also important contributors to local economies. And so we know that keeping them open and supporting them also supports and enhances the local economy, which is so important in the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah, sorry for getting those two programs confused there. You do have a third round of the pandemic grants coming, as you just mentioned, that be announced probably within the next week. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, yep. We're excited about that one. It'll be our third and final round of funding to nonprofits directly addressing the impact of the pandemic in the local communities. And when this round is done, it will then we will be able to sort of close out the North Idaho COVID Response and Recovery Fund, which, as Amy mentioned before, was started and funded by the generosity of a whole group of very generous funders from North Idaho. And so we've been really privileged to get to partner with those other funders and direct these dollars out to nonprofits in the local community. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've kind of been focusing on the part of Inovia that's supporting our communities and giving money to various nonprofit groups. But you have a program that's getting underway that's an opportunity, a very real opportunity for individuals to ways for them to at least think about contributing into this fund and all the good work that their money could do over time. And it's called the 5% Transfer of Wealth Opportunity or campaign. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first of all, I will just be very upfront and tell you that in my 25 years of my professional life, I'm not sure I've been a part of an initiative that I am more excited about in terms of my genuine conviction that this has an opportunity to be so transformational for local communities and for nonprofits within those communities. And one of the reasons why, Chris, is that for anybody of your listeners that cares about a nonprofit or who does fundraising on behalf of a nonprofit, we know how challenging that can be. And that so often our fundraising efforts focus on gifts of cash that generous donors who love a nonprofit can give today to support the mission of that nonprofit. And that's really important fundraising. But we also know, based on a number of different studies across the United States, that only about 5% of American wealth is held in cash or very liquid assets. And so the opposite is true, that 95% of the way that most Americans hold their wealth are in more complex assets, things like our homes, appreciated securities, our small businesses, farmland or timberland, life insurance policies, the kinds of assets that frankly require a bit more planning and thoughtfulness in order to, when the time is right, turn those into a charitable asset. And so the 5% campaign that you just referenced is really about that. It's our recognition as a community foundation that after the many, many years of doing this work and working with donors and generous people, we recognize there is a huge opportunity in the coming 10 years to help nonprofits benefit from the kind of wealth that will transfer from one generation to the next, while at the same time learning how to talk to generous people in our communities about ways that they can give from that deeper reservoir, that 95% of the way that most Americans hold their wealth. And the product of that work and that campaign is called our 5% Transfer of Wealth Campaign. It really started with actually a transfer of wealth study where we commissioned with an outside group to help us understand how is wealth held in our region, how much wealth is there, and how much wealth is going to transfer in the next 10 years. The numbers are staggering, and I'll just touch on them very briefly. We know that in the next 10 years, $42 billion is set to transfer in North Idaho and Eastern Washington. And the reason for the 5% is because it's a doable ask amount. What if everyone in our region considered planning now to give 5% as a part of our estate plan to a favorite nonprofit in our community or to a local endowment that's invested and endowed and generates the kind of grant making that Amy and I have just been talking about. And if you look at the numbers across our region, if people across our region responded to this call and planned now to give 5%, the result would be over $2 billion over the next 10 years invested back into local communities. So Amy and I have been talking about, you know, grants of $20,000 here or even $1 million in an annual grant round. But imagine the impact of $2 billion committed back into nonprofits and local communities. And then if you take those numbers even further and think about that $2 billion being put into charitable endowments like the kinds that Inovia Foundation manages, the result would be in just 5 years, $100 million annually in grant making perpetually for generations to come. That truly would be a game changer for local communities and nonprofits.
Yeah, so this is a way that somebody that may not think they have special means can still make a meaningful contribution to, it's actually a bit of a legacy, isn't it? To creating a legacy that could carry on after they're gone.
It absolutely, Amy, I'll just jump in and then please fill in the gaps. But, you know, one of the things that we're excited about this campaign is you don't have to be wealthy to participate in something like this. And sometimes we almost hesitate to emphasize the big numbers because really it's not about the numbers. It's not about the dollars. It's about everyone participating, whether you're a retired teacher or a small business owner or a, you know, you name it, whether you consider yourself wealthy or not, everyone can participate even just with 5%. And so one of the messaging points in the campaign is take care of your kids, take care of your grandkids, take care of your church and your alma mater. But would you also consider 5% in your estate plan through a simple bequest or another kind of a charitable gift back to your favorite nonprofit or to your local community? And when you think about it that way, everyone can participate. It doesn't matter what the dollar amount is. And you're right, Chris, it's about that legacy that I and my family could have simply with just a 5% planned gift today that would create a perpetual legacy and impact for my community and for the nonprofits that I love.
Amy.
Just for your listeners specifically, I think it's really helpful for us sometimes to drill down this transfer of wealth data that Aaron was talking about, because sometimes people in our more rural regions think that that wealth is mostly probably Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. And so we get really excited to share with our region specific data to where they live. And we have this 5% transfer of wealth data specific to Bonner and Boundary counties. And just in Bonner and Boundary County, there's $16 billion of wealth currently held in those two counties. And over the next 10 years, there's an estimated $2 billion of that wealth that will transfer generations. If we could just capture just 5% of that to go back to our communities, that's $100 million that could be endowed in a fund. And over just 5 years, that would be as much as $4.5 million that could be granted out annually to nonprofits in Bonner and Boundary counties.
Yeah, we should mention it's not limited to 5%. Yeah. It could certainly be more. Folks who are listening who are interested in this idea of the 5% transfer of wealth opportunity that Innovia is kicking off, how do they get more information about this?
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Chris. They can absolutely reach out to Amy or myself, www.innovia.org, or you can call our office at 509-624-2606 and ask for myself, Aaron, or Amy, or frankly, any of our colleagues, and we'd be glad to answer questions. We also have a 5% landing page on our website that we've just recently launched, and it's innovia.org/5%. And there's more information there about the campaign, about the data. Actually, I should clarify that. It's innovia.org/5% spelled out P-E-R-C-E-N-T. And that will take you to a landing page with the data and the information about the campaign. And there's information there for both how nonprofits can participate in sharing this out with their donors and board members and volunteers and friends. And Chris, to your point, how community members can participate and ways that they can respond to the campaign and make a lasting impact for their community.
Well, we're going to run out of time in a few minutes here, but anything else you want to tell us about what Innovia has going on?
Gosh, we're excited to, one thing I'll say is that we're excited to gradually start being able to get back out into our communities. We're planning for a gathering of friends and donors and nonprofit leaders this summer, in North Idaho. And so we'll be sharing out more details on that. It's been a while since we've been able to be into communities and host a reception and gather together with people who'd like to learn more. So we're really excited about that. I would also say that we are right now in the midst of finalizing our round of spring scholarships. And so awarding out scholarships is a really exciting part of the work that we get to do year in and year out. A number of our donors who have established funds at Innovia care deeply about student educational achievement. And so they've launched scholarship funds that would benefit maybe a local high school or students from that high school. And so we manage scholarships like that around the region. And then maybe, Amy, you want to close out and just say a few words about Say Yes to Education and our excitement about launching a region-wide plan to address the opportunity gap in education around our region.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. Actually, before I jump into that, I will mention also that we currently have an open grants round with the Equinox Foundation. And that is grants that are available to nonprofits in Bonner and Boundary County. So if they visit our website, they can get more information. The grant application period closes on April 23rd. So there's just about 2 weeks left for nonprofits to be able to apply for that funding. So I wanted to mention that. Say Yes to Education, that Aaron mentioned, is really something that Innovia is very excited about. Chris, as you mentioned early on, one of the things we're passionate about is access to education. And we really see supporting student success in education and their opportunity to pursue post-secondary dreams and goals as a way to really close the opportunity gap in our communities. Say Yes to Education is a model that provides wraparound services to students of all ages from pre-kindergarten all the way through post-secondary completion to remove as many barriers as possible that prevent kids from being successful in their education. Wraparound services is a Promise Scholarship that any student who graduates high school in our 20-county region would have access to a scholarship so that they could pursue their post-secondary education. So we're really excited. We're in the early stages, planning stages of that and rolling it out. We're working with some very rural school districts in Eastern Washington and looking to do the same in North Idaho. And we're really thinking about this 5% campaign as a way to help us build that endowment that will allow us to provide those scholarships to students in perpetuity.
Yeah, well, a lot going on. I'm going to say thank you, Amy Voller and Aaron McMurray with Innovia Foundation for taking time to talk with us today. And we will come back in the future and catch up with more work that Innovia is doing, just because it's so cool and it's so important to our communities that we have an organization like Innovia out there doing this kind of good work. So thanks.
Thank you, Chris. And I have to just say that, our community is very lucky and fortunate to have KRFI here and to be able to be sharing information to the community like you do. So thank you for the good work you're doing.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY and our discussion with Aaron McMurray and Amy Voller of the Innovia Foundation. To learn more about the foundation and to get specifics on the 5% Transfer of Wealth campaign, check the group's website at www.innovia.org. I'm Chris Bessler. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more community conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thanks for listening today.